This show is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
I'll tell you, I probably shouldn't do this, but what the heck, I'm in my last year. I had an in-depth conversation with President Putin a while back. He had read an article in the Atlantic that Jeff Goldberg had done about my foreign policy doctrine. He said, well, I disagree with some of the things that you said in there. But I pointed out to him, of course, that unlike you, Vladimir, I don't get to edit the piece before it's published.
That was President Obama.
What? Well, don't we get to self-edit? You know, before you talk about it? I mean, you know, you just can't just ramble and, you know, and expect people to do that. But, yeah, I guess a little bit of Western meets Russian humor here, I guess, right, huh?
I guess. I don't know how to take it, really. He's very, very smart.
He's charming his way out. I mean, hey, he charmed his way in. He's charming his way out. You know, why not? Hey, let's kind of chuckle and... whole deal. I mean, everybody, you know, whenever he brings up Vladimir Putin, we always remember that that hot mic line about, hey, tell Vlad, you know, we'll be okay after I get reelected here.
Yeah. I don't know. Anytime that a politician starts with, I probably shouldn't say this, you should probably stop right there.
Exactly. I'm sure his press are going to stop. Don't go there, you know, kind of thing. But, oh, well, you know, it's just...
I kind of wish we had a response from Putin to see what he would say.
Well, he's probably got that smirk, you know, that same smirk that they use in that, what is it, the Trump ad that he's got Hillary barking like a dog in, and they cut to Putin kind of like that smirk, like, oh, these guys are idiots, you know.
It seems to me, though, that if memory is serving me correctly here, there have been reports that his administration has banned certain reporters from coming to the White House, haven't they? Because they've written some pieces about him that he didn't like, so he's taken away their credentials at the White House.
Well, when was the last time he met with a conservative, you know, host? I mean, he'd much rather go talk to somebody who's in a bathtub with a bunch of Juji Fruits or whatever it is, you know.
I believe it was Fruit Loops.
Fruit Loops. Well, Juji Fruits, Fruit Loops, whatever. I mean, you know, it's like, come on, you know. It's like, you know, are we really going to have a discussion here? And it's got to be tough, you know, as a president of the United States, especially when you do everything you can to create an adversarial environment, which ironically he says he regrets it. And then even along the way, he said, look at the civility of our conversation. We need to improve it. Okay, well, you got a clue. We'll start doing something, you know. Be that change yourself. I mean, you got the bully pulpit, and you can, you know, use it, take it away, do whatever you want at will. You're the president of the United States, and it's just an incredible amount of power and potential that has been left unexercised. And as a result, I believe it's been costly for all of us, because this is a guy who came in, Scott. You know, though a lot of people felt like, you know, was there any depth beyond the banner slogans that he came out with? Could he really do something, you know, for we the people, you know, for the United States of America? Could he be?
I think people had a lot of hope. Well, this might work.
And I think that's what you have is the measure of frustration right now is in direct relationship to the unmet hope that has been exercised over this, these last two, administrations. And, people have had it. So, you know, here we got Byrne on one end and we got the Trumpster on the other. Hey, it's all good. Why not, huh?
We'll see. Yeah.
It just gives us something to talk about, you know. Why not? All right. And because sometimes, you know, these cocktail parties can be boring.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be the Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it. Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
You better stop me. What's that style?
Generally, I'm the man that ran logistics, obviously. If there's somebody that you want to get a hold of and interrogate to get information, the head of logistics is a pretty great place to start. Of the Paris attacks,
right,
they arrest him in Belgium.
Right.
They hold him for 4 days.
Right.
They interview him for 1 hour.
Right.
What should have been done? If this were 2004, what should have been done?
Well, first of all, what they did reflects an absolute law enforcement approach to the problem. They had this man, and they thought they had time because it was all forensics. It was all looking backward to the Paris attacks. It wasn't, in their view, an intelligence problem.
They didn't realize the clock was ticking.
Looking forward. And frankly, although law enforcement is a very useful tool to fight terrorism, there are other approaches, there are other frameworks. And the Europeans default to the law enforcement framework.
Andrea?
Well, you know, what General Hayden, and of course he's been on with us several times here, you know, breaks it down very clearly here. And even Mark Thiessen writes, you know, for the Washington Post and talks about the, you know, what he would say is a failure of this interrogation program that Belgium, you know, really kind of blew it here, Scott.
Yeah, well, they did. There's no other way that you can say it. They dropped the ball, and they had the guy.
Mm-hmm.
They had him. They were questioning him, and then they let him go. And then they pushed up the plan. From the sounds of it, is that the plan was pushed up. And yeah, and then you have the resulting attacks that happen.
Well, here they get the guy on Friday. Okay, they shoot him in the knee. Okay, they don't take him out, and they don't render him useless. You know, you can still talk. When somebody shoots you in the knee, you can still talk, right?
I've never been shot in the knee, but I assume I could. Yeah,
I would think. I mean, you might say ouch every once in a while. I would think, yeah, in between the interrogation, but you could probably still. But here they have Salah Abdesalam, and he was believed to be the logistics chief for the Islamic State terrorist cell there, and they had him. And here it is, they could not extract the information that they needed, you know, to pull out from him. And you know, and then on the heels of this and the bombing explosions there in Belgium, and now what do we have to 34, 35 people dead now as a result of that? Is that the new number?
Because I think that
a couple more people died.
I think that, yeah, was the last number I saw, is 35, I believe.
And the thing that's scarier yet is now you've got ISIS saying, hey, look, we've sent out marching orders to 400 jihadis that are going across Europe, and they've been told, look, just go out there and create havoc and terror and carnage. You know, go tear it up.
Yeah, that's not what you like to hear. That's not what I want to hear.
No, not at all. And the thing is, the failure, the additional failure that Mark Thiessen writes about, is they had this guy, okay, shot in the knee. But 24 hours, they didn't even interrogate him. What are they doing? I mean, you know, this lack of sense of urgency here, they're having this high-value target. They knew that he was a high-value target. And to just kind of set him on ice for 24 hours, I mean, you're burning time here.
Yeah, until they come out and tell us what they were thinking, we don't really...
Yeah, and the only question for 2 hours. That's it. You know, after, you know, they bring him back to the jail. After the first night, okay, you do the humanitarian thing. You fix up his boo-boo, do all that stuff. Now you bring him back to jail, and you only talk to the guy for 2 hours. And then you don't even talk to him until after, you know, three or four days later, after the bombings take place. You know, so the big question is why?
Man, I wish I had more answers. I really do, because it's things like this that bother me, because it seems so, when you're looking back at it, it seems so easy, and it seems so irresponsible for them not to do more when they have the chance.
Well, what it tells me is that the wrong people in the job. They probably had, you know, people that are there that know how to extract, and they probably didn't even call these people in. Because what happens here is the response from Belgium security was that, you know, he seemed a little tired, you know, and he had been operated the day before. You know, it was kind of like the humanitarian thing to do. Well, this guy's fooled with all kinds of anti-humanitarian procedures and things that are, you know, around his life. And we're going to demonstrate, you know, a humanitarian, attitude towards this person who is wreaking havoc. I mean, this guy's a bomb maker. And look what he did. I mean, this guy's responsible for what happened in Paris. And, you know, they've been, you know, and they're treating this guy with kid gloves. I mean, it's like, wow. I mean, our political correct society and world has run amok here.
Well, Joe Scarborough actually had a statement about this, about how you should be able to bring up enhanced interrogation. And when you start talking about enhanced interrogation, everybody immediately pushes it to torture.
Mm-hmm.
Well, enhanced interrogation isn't torture. Enhanced interrogation is pretty much the exact opposite of torture. And enhanced interrogation makes you think that I'm your friend,
mm-hmm.
and you begin to tell me things that you don't realize that you're telling me. I'm just, you know, I'm dealing with you. I believe his thing was, you know, you don't torture them. You don't even want to hurt them, because you know, it's been proven that you can get, if you're just hurting people, you can get them to tell you anything you want. Mm. They'll tell you whatever you want to hear, and they'll just tell you what they think you want to hear because they don't want to be hurt.
Right.
Well, your advanced interrogation, this is what you're talking about. You're bringing in guys that know how to get information out of people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to hurt you. I'm going to sit down. I'm going to talk with you. I'm going to ask the same question maybe 8, 9, 10 different ways.
Right.
You know, and I'm going to piece together all the information that you're giving me, and we're going to go from there. Mm-hmm. What I assume has to be part of the PC thing is that if I say advanced interrogation, a lot of people immediately think I'm talking torture.
Right.
Well,
I think we have a misunderstanding greatly about waterboarding, for example. There was a SEAL on the other night, was watching an interview with him, and he said, look, I've been waterboard. It's not, you know, it's not torture. Of course, that's from a SEAL, and these guys, you know, do all kinds of extreme things just to even, you know, get to the process of becoming a SEAL. That some people would probably look at and go, you know, carrying a log at midnight on my shoulders, that's torture. Well, you know, things are certainly relative, but I think the other thing to consider is, like, you know, like one interviewer asked, said, look at it, if it was your child that was abducted, what would be the stopping point? I mean, if you're there. Now, some people can ideologically say, well, you know, I wouldn't do this at all. But if you're there and your child is the one abducted and you know that person has the answer and the whereabouts of your child, I got to tell you, heaven help him. I'm going to do whatever it takes to get that information. That's just me and being in that spot and really thinking about, you know, what I would go to, you know, to what extent, you know.
I 100% agree.
If
it was my kid or my family member, I would be get the information any way you can.
Well, they dropped the ball here, no doubt about it. It's 14 minutes after the top of the hour. This is Bill Martinez. We're live.
It only takes 7 seconds to make a good first impression, or a bad one for that matter. What if it only took 7 seconds to get to work in the morning? Think about it. 7 seconds from the bedroom to the workroom. The 7 Second Walk is a turnkey home business system. We are looking for individuals who would like to earn from $500 to $5,000 a month, working from home with their own home-based business. All you need is a computer, internet access, and a telephone. You choose your own hours, and you can work in your PJs if you want. What most people like best about the 7 Second Walk is our national advertising campaign that can have customers calling you. We will teach you everything you need to know to be successful. So, if you could use some extra money and would like to be your own boss, go to 7secondnow.com and request your free info pack. I'll bet you could get used to a 7 Second commute. Go to 7secondnow.com. That's 7secondnow.com. Think about it. 7 seconds from the bedroom to the workroom. Go to 7secondnow.com. That's 7secondnow.com.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Why do they dispense little colorful pills that restrict the production of stomach acid? Compromising digestion, leading further to malabsorption, leading even further to bone loss and many other health complications. Well, at Bill Martinez Live, we support structure and function of digestion with a healthy body digestion pack. Find us at BillMartinezLive.com Longevity or call 855-305-8326. Healthy acid, healthy body. That's 855-305-8326.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Piedmont Attorney Spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with Principal Office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
You're listening to Bill Martinez Live.
Oh, why not make it a party, huh? I mean, considering the alternative, no party, party, hey, let's, why not? It's 19 minutes after the top of the hour. Welcome back, America. This is Bill Martinez. We're coming at you live. We're very fortunate with us to have right now the executive producer of The Young Messiah with us. Bill Andrew is on the phone. Bill, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well, Bill. How are you today?
Hey, I'm doing great. Hey, congratulations on the movie. It is one of my favorite movies of the season. I thought what you guys were able to accomplish, and of course, as we were talking, you and I earlier, you know, talked to several people, John Debney, of course, who did the score for you, Cyrus Narasta, just a great, great guy. We were able to talk in Nashville at NRB when they did the screening there. And you know, there was quite the buzz for the movie, and you know, and I was happy to hear that, because you know, sometimes Christians, you know, when you deal with the Bible and something is taken a little bit out of context, because you know, it's clear in Scripture it talks about Jesus being 12, and now we consider in Young Messiah Jesus being 7. Sometimes that can irritate people's sensitivities, but they seem to get beyond that and like the way the movie was presented. It was so well done.
Well, thank you so much. And Cyrus and Betsy are both, as you know, Betsy is Cyrus's wife, and they wrote the screenplay together. And they, you know, in my mind, they're genius. I just think they wrote a screenplay, imagined a year in the life of a 7-year-old Jesus that was rooted in history. And was honest and respectful of the character of Jesus that's revealed to us in the Bible, even though this particular point or period in his life is not talked about in the Bible.
Well, it takes us back, I mean, to the point when we go from B.C. to A.D., right? I mean, and the thing that you hear, whether, you know, it had to be with Jesus' mother or his father or other people that knew him, is you had these moments of pondering. And it does take us all back to that time to where, hey, what would it be like, you know, if Jesus was here and we knew that he was God, or we started witnessing things that were supernatural or extremely extraordinary, it would cause you to have a moment to say, hey, what is really driving me? I mean, is this really God? We know that there's something real special about this young man.
Yes, yes. And the story has, in the Bible, has large gaps, but yet we know that he must have grown. He must have been a child, and he had a mom and a dad, and and he was fully human and fully divine, and that human side of him, the human nature of him, which, you know, honestly, the fully human, fully divine mystery is one that we and theologians for centuries have grappled with.
Exactly.
How did he grow in wisdom and stature? Mm-hmm. And that's something that's, I think Cyrus has done a masterful job of addressing that question in the film.
Exactly. Well, you know, in doing that, and of course here we are, we're coming off this, you know, the season, the Easter season in that, and right in the midst of a very contested political environment, you know, and it's gotten to the point where you just wonder how bad it can get. And when you have Dr. Billy Graham, probably one of the most humble men I've ever met in my entire life, when he says, look, we're living in the last of the last days. And Dr. Graham doesn't normally talk about that. He'll talk about the salvation of Christ and the cross. He'll do that all night, even in his current health condition. But for him to look at how unhinged we have become here in our society, it is scary times. And if there was ever a time that we really needed to re-moor ourselves, so to speak, to a moral compass, it is now.
Yeah, I completely agree. And it's, you know, the ugliness of the campaigns and the catty nature of it is unnerving, and we've lost our ability to disagree and have discussions about our disagreements in a civil manner, and one of the things that I was taken aback with by this movie is this character Jesus, and he's portrayed even as a youngster of having these amazing characteristics, you know, empathy and compassion and humility and kindness. And it's what we seem to have lost so much of in our society today. He grew up in a society that was in very much the same state. It was chaos. It was it was a society, the Jewish community under rule of a corrupt Jewish king and occupied by a Roman force, then a nation occupied, and it was very dangerous, troubling times as well. And yet, here's this character that rose above it all to affect us. Even today, 2,000 years later, has such a huge effect on us. And he did it in a way that that was non-confrontational, civil, mm-hmm. but just did it with kindness and compassion and empathy and honesty and a search for the truth. And it's in large part what we've lost today. We've lost those lessons that were mm-hmm. taught to us.
Well, he definitely was counter the culture. And for those who had eyes to see and ears to hear, this was quite revolutionary. And the very peace that they were looking for and knew that was possible, started to come to life and started to have some reality for them and take them out of their temporal existence. You know, this is why, you know, people are, you know, scrambling for, you know, what's in it for me and what I may be losing, when the very thing that we can gain is gained when we lose that thing that we think we need so badly.
You're so right, Bill. Well, very, very well said.
And so here it is. So we need that counterculture moment. You know, people have, everywhere you go, people say, well, we need revival. And I say, well, go be a revival of one.
Right.
You know, just exactly. One at a time. That's all it takes. And go be that difference. I mean, we have enough. I mean, at that period in time, I mean, you're looking to John the Baptist and Jesus himself, you know, being able to get that message. We have that, you know, the brilliance and the wisdom of the ancients, the words of Jesus. We have that to draw from today, and the power of his Holy Spirit today on this earth. That we can go out and make a difference in a world that needs the information, that needs the story of the young Messiah.
Yes, it's so well said, Bill. Thank you.
Well,
as I've gone through this process, for me, it's been a journey,
mm-hmm.
and it's been a rediscovery for me of that faith. And the film is a faith-affirming film. It's a film that challenges us to rediscover that faith if we've mm-hmm. lost it.
Right.
And if we have that faith, it reaffirms that faith in such a I just think it's a masterful piece of work that Cyrus has put together and backed by
the whole team. I mean, for all of you to come together and present this, and even for you to be spurred on, Bill, to bring it to the next level, say, look, let's make this available to, you know, to the politicians. And I understand Dana Rohrabacher. I'm in California right now, and I'm in his district. And I know Dana fairly well. We've met, you know, several times. We've done events together. And I'm glad that he took you up on his offer. And I guess over the holiday, he did a private screening for, some people. That's just awesome. I mean,
yep,
you know,
so.
And
Dana, so far, is the only one of the 535 that has taken us up on the challenge. Although I've not heard personally back from Dana, I'm mm-hmm. assuming that he did have the ability to, he did have the opportunity to watch the film over the weekend. And we've approached a few other senators and congressmen so far with no response, but the offer remains open.
Well, we got to get it to the presidential candidates as well, so
yes.
We can make that happen. Bill Andrew, the executive producer of The Young Messiah, again, congratulations on the movie, Bill. Thank you so much, you know, for coming on and sharing your insight. God's blessings on you. It's 28 minutes after the top of the hour. This is Bill Martinez. We're live.
Thousands of Americans are losing weight and feeling better with the 10-2-2 weight loss system from ILikeTheWayILook.com. Here is U.S. Army Sergeant Dave Myers.
Since I started taking the new Phenup, I have lost over 12 pounds. I have a long military career, and it has caused some issues with my knees and my ankles over the years, and I have become accustomed to just being in pain with one of those areas. I can only attribute the way I feel to the Nufina because that's the only thing that's changed in my diet. And I am absolutely pain-free in knees and ankles. And it just feels great to be able to get out and run around and move pain-free again.
The Nufina Collagen Protein Shake is part of the 10-2 and a Chew weight loss system from ILikeTheWayItLook.com. Collagen feeds the joints, hair, and skin. It could help you lose weight, feel better, and look younger. Watch the video on ILikeTheWayItLook.com and get the full story. They even offer free samples. Go to ILikeTheWayItLook.com. ILikeTheWayItLook.com.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
You know, we've seen these crazy diets to lose weight, right? You know, some of us have tried many of them. Well, at Bill Martinez Live, our healthy body weight loss system simply saturates the body with nutrition, bringing down cravings. It's been proven that nutritional deficiencies drive appetite for carbs, sugars, and fats. Sweating during a good workout at the gym is a release of all 90 essential nutrients, leading to a further deficiency, causing an even greater craving for carbs, sugars, and fats. Diet and exercise cannot curb appetite, like saturation of mineral vitamins, amino acids, and essential fatty acids. Stop the weight gain cycle and lose weight the easy way with properly blended, specifically targeted nutrition. Find us at BillMartinezLive.com, Longevity, or call 855-305-8326. Fighting cravings is a losing fool's game. Give the body what it needs to be satisfied. Again, that's 855-305-8326. 855-305-8326.
Destroy harmful bacteria, allergens, bed bugs, dust mites, fleas in your home with the Ladybug Steam Vapor System. The Ladybug dies deep on surfaces without any toxic residue. Traditional control agents contain toxic chemicals which do more harm than good. Sanitize and disinfect using just water. Quick, fast, and surprisingly easy.
Find out more now by calling 800-997-6584. Ask for Randy. That's 800-997-6584. Or go to advap.com/GCN. That's advap.com/GCN.
Bill Martinez, live.
We're back with the Americas. Bill Martinez live, coming at you 3 hours every day, Monday through Friday, from 9 to noon Eastern Time, and around the world via shortwave, via WWCR out of Nashville, Tennessee. Thank you for joining us for another great day and a great time and some insight from our experts, like our next expert, Travis Weber, director of the Center for Religious Liberty at the Family Research Council. Travis Weber, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you, sir?
I'm well. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, great to have you on, Travis. I wanted to get an update. You wrote an article prior to the Supreme Court hearing by the Little Sisters. Tell us what happened.
Sure. The Little Sisters case was heard yesterday for oral argument before the Supreme Court. We can expect a written decision before June deciding the case. But as far as the oral argument went, I think it was pretty clear that we have four justices who are willing to support the Little Sisters and others who are bringing these religious objections against the HHS mandate, and probably four other justices who are skeptical of their claims, although I'm not so sure about Justice Breyer. I think he sees the sense in what the religious claimants are asserting, but we'll have to wait to see for sure.
Well, it is an interesting time because we're still without the replacement for Judge Scalia, so there's eight. And so it's a 4-4 situation, and it's a matter of one of them coming over to the side of the Little Sisters. And from what I understand from one of the nuns, who was probably the head nun there, what was her name, Sister Catherine, was it? She was very optimistic in terms that she felt like she was able to get their story across and their position, and it seemed like the court's response was, seemingly positive, but you never know until you know in these things, right?
Well, that's true. I think more and more people are seeing through the hype and misinformation about this case and really seeing what they're claiming. I mean, the USA Today had an editorial the other day in which they said there's no reason for the administration to do this, and our religious liberty laws are based on the idea that when the government can accomplish its purpose another way, it shouldn't violate religious liberty. Here, the government has to establish that it has a compelling interest in what it's trying to do, and the fact that it's exempted so many other groups under the mandate cuts against that. Furthermore, there's other avenues for contraceptives and the objected to matters to be provided by the government, again, cutting against the government's case. Now, the Little Sisters have to convince the court they have a substantial burden on their religious belief, but I think that's clear. If you accept their claims, as the government should do, and not intrude into deciding these religious matters, religious doctrine, there's a pretty clear case here, and USA Today is seeing that. I think more and more people are seeing that. These are obviously religious groups. Now, if the court is split 4-4, lower court decisions will stand, but there are certain decisions that are against the religious claimants, but the case does live on in the sense that if we get a ninth justice up there at some point, the Supreme Court could rehear the case and decide in favor of the religious claimant.
Well, Travis, I've gotten some tweets on this issue, and people say, well, I thought there was separation of church and state. Doesn't that swing both ways?
Well, that phrase is actually not in the Constitution. What the Constitution?
I know that, but it's and we can parse that out forever. But the fact of the matter is that those on the left have used that time and again and have convinced, particularly millennials and many people, that it's accepted fact.
Right. So here's the rub. Some people will say, well, why should religious objectors get to hold society hostage because of their objections, right? Shouldn't they have to go along with a regulatory scheme like this? And that's a lot of what the government and opponents of Little Sisters have been saying. It's like, look, the government's trying to accommodate them. Why isn't this good enough? And I think we have to kind of come back to the framework we have in law. Congress has established the Religious Freedom Restoration Act in statute, which says that a regulation, even when it's neutral to everyone, if it burdens a belief, even if someone else doesn't have that belief, if someone has a belief and they claim it's been burdened substantially, then the government has to prove it has a compelling interest established or further through the least restrictive means. And that's how we have to look at this, right? So there are the larger philosophical divides at play with this case, and others like it have to be analyzed under the law. I think our law does a good job of separating what should be private activity under private spheres of authority from what the government can control.
And it's not like there isn't relief somewhere else, right?
Well, no. I mean, these groups have tried. You know, a lot of people may not realize this. These groups have tried to work with, communicate with the government from the beginning of the regulation implementation of Obamacare, and have said, look, this is a problem for us because of our religious beliefs. Little Sisters recently, I think it was in an op-ed, they made the point, we're not even taking a position on Obamacare as a whole. We're not political. We're just saying leave us out of the process. Don't make us be complicit in this process, right? And this is important because they're not trying to hold hostage or disrupt what the government may want to do under this law. They don't want to be forced to be a part of it, though.
Exactly. Well, and not only be forced, but then to be subjected to fines. I mean, to the tune of, what, $70 million a year? Are you kidding me? How are the Little Sisters of the Poor going to be able to afford that?
Well, and yeah, I mean, they're going to be forced out of existence, which I think is enough to establish a substantial burden when you say, disregard your religion and violate your conscience or else. Going out of existence here. There's clearly a substantial burden, and that's the point. I mean, it's not a matter of whether the government thinks their religion is not substantially burdened. It's a matter of whether for them their conscience is being violated by what they're asked to do.
Exactly.
It's a crucial point here.
Right. Well, Travis, I also wanted to talk to you about the recognition of genocide. We've been most concerned here on this show. I know others across the country as well. I mean, we're watching the genocide of our Christian brothers and sisters overseas, and we're going, what else can we do here, especially when our government is not willing to acknowledge that genocide is actually taking place?
We're heartened to see on this issue that the State Department has recognized that a genocide against Christians, Yazidis, and others is occurring under ISIS. This is important because it's, the crime of crimes established in a treaty by definition with standards attached and consequences attached for behavior in this area, criminal and otherwise, post-World War II, after the Holocaust, when we said never again. So it's important to recognize that Christians are being targeted and wiped out because of their faith. But this has to be followed up with action. We can't just designate it and then leave the issue alone. Hopefully this designation will spur action on. It should spur us on morally, in addition to having legal consequences and triggers to the designation. So we'll have to wait and see. But, you know, the government really needs to take this into the next step and enact a plan to deal with it.
What does that next step look like? And as far as a timeline, I mean, we've got people dying here. Genocide is continuing to be exercised in the Middle East against the Christian brothers. And I know that we hear from the state at times, you know, they want to talk about how Muslims, you know, there's genocide on Muslims. Well, there's plenty of genocide to go all the way around, but genocide is occurring, you know, occurring. We don't need to, you know, parse the language here. We need to do something about it, don't we? With some sense of urgency?
Yeah, you're right. You know, and there's already too much time that's passed on this. There really has been. But, you know, we're at where we're at and can't go back. But now what needs to be done is immediate steps need to be taken to protect these victims of the genocide, wherever and whoever they may be, of the different groups. You know, the government, you know, it legally has some leeway in terms of what actions it must take, militarily or otherwise. But the point is urgency. The point is to deal with what has been designated, which is the genocide. And that means protecting people who are, and the groups who are being targeted for their faith and providing relief to those who've already been affected.
Well, certainly what's happened in the Middle East and Belgium, the threat that 400 jihadis have been given marching orders, this is really putting a lot of focus on ISIS, and it really implores the national community, particularly in the West, to come together against this group. And it's been suggested that if we resolve that, then we can possibly do something sooner about genocide and all this migration.
You know, in some ways the issues are related, in some ways they're not. I mean, you know, the national security issues, to the degree there's components with, you know, dealing with radical Islam, those are certainly issues that need to be dealt with. But in terms of, you know, protecting the victims of genocide and dealing with it, I think, you know, it's something that is pretty clear we must take steps to address in terms of...
Without a doubt.
Just Christian...
Travis Weber, Director of the Center for Religious Liberty and Family Research Council, has been our guest. Travis, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Planning to buy food storage? Wait a minute. Many companies try to confuse you with the number of servings they sell. It's not about the number of servings. It's about the number of calories. In emergencies, calories mean survival. Go to ReadySupplyFoods.com for a comparison of leading companies. Ready Supply Foods sells the most calories per dollar of any company. Our 23 entrees and breakfasts are delicious and full of nutritious calories. The new leader in value and quality. Go to ReadySupplyFoods.com today.
Do you run a business and would like to learn how you can get anywhere from 5,000 to 1 million in 60 seconds? Then let me explain. We're called Capify. We've been loaning and advancing money to businesses for the past 13 years. If your business does at least $120,000 a year, gross sales, we can get you more money to run your business. Our terms are simple, repayment plans are flexible, and based on your cash flow. Plus, the paperwork is minimal, and the approval process is fast. So in the time you've listened to this commercial, you could have learned if you qualify to get up to $1 million in cold hard cash deposited in your business bank account in a few days based off your revenue. Call Capify now and get the money you need.
800-217-5107. 800-217-5107. 800-217-5107. 800-217-5107.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Serious investors and traders want to make 81% return in 60 seconds? Use the same secret algorithm professional hedge fund managers use to make billions of dollars of profits. Turn $250 into $4,903 in just 7 clicks of a mouse. Our tool is so simple that my 82-year-old grandmother can use it to make insane stock market profits. Go to BigBuckRiches.com. Watch the free video before the hedge funds make us take it down. Go to BigBuckRiches.com. From the Robert Allen System, current returns not indicative of future results.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-403-4885. That's 1-800-403-4885. 1-800-403-4885. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details in the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price can vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
So you've got to take a state construction license exam or certification. Can't decide on what books or what chapters to study? Discover right now how you can eliminate unnecessary books and wasted study time. At ContractorExam.com, our study materials zero in on state-required test topics in an effective, multiple-choice format. So whether you're a plumber, electrician, general contractor, or other construction-related trade, ContractorExam.com will help get you prepared. Visit us at www.ContractorExam.com today.
You've reached Bill Martinez live.
Love me, loves all of you. Love your curves and all your edges, all your perfect imperfections.
Bill Martinez live.
Hey, we're coming at you live, America, just about 14 minutes before the top of the hour. I am Bill Martinez. For more information, BillMartinezLive.com. That's where you want to go. And if you want to drop us an email, by all means, it'll come to me direct, Bill@BillMartinezLive.com. Got an interesting story to talk about here with Megan Tomes. Megan is communications and outreach coordinator for the Cornwall Alliance for the Stewardship of Creation. Megan, first of all, let me bring you on and say welcome to the show. Good to have you here. And then we're going to lay a little foundation here about this. You know, there's been some discussion, you know, I've heard it said kind of irresponsibly that so many people have died because of religion in the 20th century. And it's like, wait a minute, you don't get it. It's not about religion. It's more about, you know, a political viewpoint and, dare we say, socialism or communism, right?
Right, absolutely. Millions were killed, and 70 million lives were lost in the Soviet cooperatives. You know, 50 million people have died from malaria. Hitler killed another 100 million people. It's not just religion. I mean, clearly we have a different worldview issue here.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, I think it's convenient, you know, if you can blame it on religion, especially if you can blame it on God and come up against Christians, then, you know, all the more honor and glory to you. But it demonstrates just how ill-informed we are. I mean, we were talking with Travis Weber just a moment ago about the, you know, the unannounced Christian genocide that is taking place in the Middle East. You know, people want to be ill-informed because it fits their ideology. But, you know, hey, then you start doing, you know, stupid things and coming up with some, you know, pretty crazy propositions here, don't you?
Absolutely. I mean, you have to, for a lot of people, they have to stay on message because if they start allowing truth into their narrative, then they completely fall apart.
Well, you know, Megan, we want you to come on because an article here, Remembering Norman Borlaug, a man who quietly saved hundreds of millions of people. This is in the face of millions, as you just cited, millions of people dying at the hands of communism, which spurred the book, The Black Book of Communism, which details another 70 million lives being lost through the action of the Soviet cooperatives all in peacetime, which you had mentioned. But Norman Borlaug was an extraordinary individual.
He really was. He's known as the man who fed the world. He was a contemporary of Paul Ehrlich, who wrote The Population Bomb, and he basically said after Paul Ehrlich said after World War II that our worldwide populations were expanding too quickly. We'd never be able to feed all of those people. There was absolutely no hope, and we needed to start enforcing birth control measures like sterilization and abortion on people in developing countries, not the West, but he, as an elitist in the West, said we needed to do it to others. Mm-hmm. And Norman Borlaug came along at the same time and said, no, this is ridiculous. We can feed these people. He had a PhD in plant pathology and genetics. He created crop, genetically modified crops, wheat, corn, rice, that ended up increasing crop yields over 700%. He's thought to have saved 1 billion people. He received the Nobel Peace Prize in 1970, just 2 years after Paul Ehrlich published his book. Just 2 years later, Norman Borlaug received a Peace Prize for his work in Pakistan and India in saving human lives by feeding millions more people.
Exactly. Well, don't you find it, you know, quite interesting that when somebody brings out a message of death like Paul Ehrlich, and I don't know that much about his background, I've got a vague overview, but it just sounded to me like he fell into the Darwinian eugenicist movement of the time.
Right, and Malthus, and the whole idea that, you know, the pie can't get any larger, we can't innovate, it is what it is. Humanity grows exponentially, whereas crops don't. But, you know, when you think about it, he just basically had this idea that we couldn't innovate or change or create new technologies, whereas Borlaug said, well, let's just fix the problem, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's really
right.
It's quite a sad way to look at things.
Well, it's interesting because it always seems to come in pairs. You know, when you have a philosophy of death being put out there, God still sends out his message of life. And he used Borlaug with that, you know, for that message. And look what he did. Look what the difference. The difference that Ehrlich's message of death delivered, which, you know, that was a road you could travel and people did.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they got. And Borlaug, on the other hand, said, no, I believe in the possibilities, and we're going to feed millions, and there's the road to life. So road to life, road to death, in two people there, the comparative between Norman Borlaug and one Paul Ehrlich.
You know, and it's really interesting, Borlaug was a devout Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And so that worldview played into his choices, as opposed to Ehrlich, who was not.
That says a whole lot right there, doesn't it?
It really does.
You know, and it says a lot in the face of a culture that says, you know, I don't want to hear the voice of a Christian. You know, quite interesting, although, you know, and I'd mentioned this earlier, I am still fascinated by this Gallup poll that came out probably about 8 months ago. And the general public is saying, where's the Christian, you know, where's the voice of Christianity? Well, you told it to shut up. You told it not to participate in the public square debates, that we were unnecessary, that you had it all under control, much the same way that our country is doing today to God. You know, here we are. We're a nation born of God, blessed by God, thankful for all of God's blessings. And now all of a sudden we tell God, that's okay. We got it from here. We don't need you anymore.
Yeah, and that's where we're going.
Yeah.
Like that.
It is. It's very sad. I mean, you know, Bill Andrew was just on. He's the executive producer of the movie The Messiah. He says, look, there's got to be some dramatic change. He sent to all 535 congressmen, senators in our federal government, he sent them an invite for a free screening of the movie The Young Messiah. Because, look, we need to raise the faith consciousness, the moral consciousness of the leadership of our country.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. You know, there was a poll that came out some time ago, and it discussed the biblical knowledge of people within the United States, and it asked really basic, really common questions that, you know, 20, 30 years ago, anyone would have known just because of the stories that were told from the Bible.
Right.
And people got them 100% wrong. People thought that Sodom and Gomorrah were people, not towns.
Mm-hmm.
You know, really basic things. They thought that Moses wasn't even in the Bible. You know, sort of random and bizarre examples like that that were very discouraging.
Well, Barna did an extensive study, and I think they even wrote a book on, you know, living like Jesus, something, and I'm not remembering the title exactly, so I could be off there, but there was quite a revelation and a survey done there. Not only the people, I think it was less than 10% of Christians held to a biblical worldview, which was real basic. It wasn't like, you know, some doctrinal dissertation or, you know, something special and very narrow that you had to adhere to. It was just a general, you know, biblical worldview. Did you believe what the Bible said? Did you believe that, you know, you should share it with somebody? Did you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? I mean, just some basic tenets of our faith. And less than 10% of people who considered themselves to be born-again Christians could not even qualify for that test. Even worse yet was the senior pastors in the pulpit today. You know, less than 50%. You know, so it is very dangerous. It is no wonder that our worldview is compromised, but yet we draw, you know, by past experiences, stories like a Borlaug who comes along, who is a devout Christian, who takes his experience and giftings that he had as a child and developed, and he ignites what becomes the Green Revolution, right?
Right. And, you know, these are stories that we should be telling our kids. We shouldn't be holding people who really, you know, for young people nowadays, most of their idols are Hollywood actors, sports people. None of them have heard amazing stories like Norman Borlaug. There's so many historical heroes. And, I mean, Norman Borlaug's a contemporary. He died in 2009. Mm. But so few people hear about these amazing people who saw an issue, decided to use their human intellect, they're made in the image of God, they know that they can create, and they go out and they change the world. And
exactly.
Yet, hardly anyone hears these stories.
Well, yeah, because we're preoccupied with the Beyoncés and the Jay-Z and, you know, presidential politics and all this other stuff that, you know, just takes us off track. Instead of looking for the real answers, we'd much rather, you know, fight and argue. But, you know, again, like the two roads there, you know, one of Ehrlich's Road and Borlaug's Road, which is, again, you know, which echoes from what we're, you know, called out in the book of Deuteronomy. You know, we've got a choice of life and death. And I love what... Yeah, Moses said, you know, I don't want you to be confused. This is a test. You got a choice between life and death, but I'm going to give you the answer. You want to choose life, right?
Right.
So we want to follow the Borlaugs of this world. What a great story. And Megan Toombs, thank you so much for coming on and reminding us of a contemporary Christian who has made a huge difference that we won't hear about.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Well, thank you for coming on. Megan Toombs, I'm Bill Martinez. That is a wrap for us. Thank you for sharing a part of your day with us. We'll see you mañana right here on the SCG Radio Network.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.